Just like you, he puts a burden in your heart for family, for your husband, for your wife, for your kids. But God has always found a way to give me a burden for territory and boundaries and areas. And it's just those things you can't explain. That was my purpose he gave me to fulfill that and do things. So it's been special to be here. This is part of God's plan for my life to really retrace steps in this season of my life. So it is just so special to be here. It really is. So, okay. And that's just me, okay? It doesn't take me much to cry. I don't know about anybody in this room. Because when the presence of God is here, when my spirit bears witness with him that I'm a child of God, I lose it. Because I don't know what to do. You just kind of bask in it and you know God loves you. And it just settles you down. It anchors you. And that's some of the gifts God's given me to anchor the body of Christ and anchor people's lives. And when the wind blows, sails are rent, so the anchor holds. Because I know my God loves me so much, has done so much for us. So, okay, God, I think I can do this without crying. I am so thankful to be here. I love Pastor Rick and Terry, their lives. But the spirit of this church, spirit of this place and county, and really Indiana is just one of those things. I'm in Colorado, but I'm here now. But ever since last year, God has just given me a really burden that we pray day and night for Fulton County. And don't ask me why. I just can't explain that. God does that. And I thank God for that. But I hope today you'll be able to understand maybe some of that picture, what the Spirit of God carries in each of you, also the family of God. But he has a purpose and destiny for all of us. He truly does. So I'm so thankful for that. But understand, yes, I have an apostolic mandate to do what I do all over the world, and it's wonderful to meet everything in ministries and whatever. But understand, I only carry a part. I don't have the whole. I can't give you all the answers, but I don't have all the parts that God gave to equip you as a saint of God. Ephesians chapter 4 says, when Christ went up, he said, now go build my church. And what did he give? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He gave his hand. I call it the hand of God. Now go build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And then it talks about the edification, every member, every joint supplying. So again, yes, that's the apostolic mandate in my life. But folks, I only care a part. I'm 1/5. So you need the prophet, you need the evangelist, you need a shepherd, you need a teacher to full measure equip you for the work that God's calling you to do every day. So that's kind of the picture of the apostolic call that God gives. We are truly in an apostolic reformation. And it's been coming around the bend since, you know, 90s and turned the corner of 2000. And God's restoring that. Yes, he's restoring apostles into the church. And I thank God for that, that people are receiving that. And that's how the kingdom of God is built. My life is built and stretched when I receive from the Lord for this vessel what he has for me, but also what I receive from you. And that's how we build each other. I thank God we're a family of God. We're a holy temple for the habitation of God. So as I go through some things today, you have probably heard about, you know, visitations, revivals, call it, put a term on if you'd like. But I believe God's in a season for habitation. He doesn't want to flash in a pan. He doesn't want to blow on through and go somewhere else. He wants to stay and abide in a habitation of each of our lives, but also in a family of God, if that makes sense to you. And I thank God for it. There is a difference from that. And not either one is wrong. It's just you have to know what God is asking. Okay, so I'd like to just spend a moment and talk about identity today, if I can. Talking about phrases like, these are the sons of God. Talking about family. So I want to kind of anchor the truth of identity today in each of you as well, but also corporately, you as a family of God, the body of Christ. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your purpose and destiny here in this place. Thank you, Lord. We hear your voice this morning, not to be a hearer only, but to be a doer of it. So, Father, I thank you for that unction, for your Holy Spirit, for the impartation, that you're the best teacher in town. So, Father, teach everyone here today, Holy Spirit of God. I release you, send you, equip them. Thank you, Lord, for anchoring them individually and also corporately in this place of New Life Church in Rochester, Indiana. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So identity, it's a spiritual DNA. I love that. I have my Father's DNA. How about you? If you know Jesus, you're his family, you got his DNA. You do. So I better look like him. I just met some friends I hadn't seen in, I don't know how many years, sir, I won't put a number on that one, a long time ago. But guess what? I'm a Bickle. Bernie's my dad. I've got Bernie's DNA. I can't change that. You may try to refuse it, but guess what? That's me. I'm Bernie's boy. I truly am. You are a child of God. You have your Father's DNA. So with that comes purpose and destiny. So just to stir up some things, and just that's kind of what I love doing, stirring some things up, because sometimes things get cased over, get hardened, and it's like something on a stove that gets kind of hard and there's a little crust that gets there. You got to start stirring it up again to keep it fresh. So I think God stirs my life a bunch. I believe he'll stir yours, but I'll give you some phrases here this morning as we begin this. But this place has a redemptive purpose and destiny. And as I walk through this, I think the Holy Ghost will help you define the word redemptive. This place has a territory or a boundary. And again, I've carried my Father's spiritual DNA. I live in Colorado. But why God has given us in that region a burden to pray for a territory and boundary in Rochester, Indiana, north central Indiana, that's how he does things. He's looking for someone who's available to bring his what? Purpose and destiny to pass. So to be here is wonderful. Retracing steps is great. But in the spiritual dimension or realm, he sees it much more bigger than I do. So he can touch someone in Colorado to pray right here for Rochester, Indiana. So it's a place, it has a destiny, it has a purpose, but it has also a territory and boundary. So it's interesting, we should understand redemptive means there's a purpose, destiny, redeeming something. The word should mean to you, it's redeemed. Redeem means it's bringing it back. I'm redeeming it. That's what Christ did for my life. He redeemed my life, put my foot on the rock and my family. So redemption is nothing that is something new. And this may stir you a little bit. Pray it through. Be the Berean. Study the Word of God. Ask God to walk you through things and let the Spirit speak to you and teach you. But I believe everything's been given a redemptive purpose and destiny. My life individually, your life individually. And guess what? This fellowship. Before you were born, in your mother's womb, God gave you a purpose and destiny. Give God some credit. I know he's given us to be co-laborers with him and work, and we can build history, his story for us. But folks, it's history, his story for you. It was made way before me, before I was even born. He knew what I would be doing. He knew what he called me to do. So redemptive, it's important. It's a redeeming. So it's not like something new. And how many times have you heard in the Christian's life or whatever, and you've heard slogans like, God's doing a new thing, you know, type of thing? Well, that's wonderful, but you know what? I don't think there's anything new under the sun, S-O-N. There isn't. We carry a purpose and destiny, a redemptive value, each of us. Why was I created? What is my purpose? What is my destiny? I need to find that out, just like a fellowship. So God has gone before us in this area. So for me to pray spiritually from 1,500 miles away, the way God sees it, his work's getting done. I don't need to see the results by sight, but by faith I carry. God's building his church here. He really is. So, and not just this place, but church means everyone who is a believer. It's not a building. Thank God he doesn't, you know, impart buildings, concrete structures, and institutions. He didn't do that. He looks for what? Heart of flesh. That's my story. Hardened heart. No, God, I ain't going to do that. I don't need you. Guess what? And God gives me what? A heart of flesh. I have feelings, I have emotions. I weep a bunch. I cry a lot. So thanks for loving me. When God comes upon you or is in the room, man, that's just me. And that's probably a Bickle DNA too. We're kind of an emotional folk. We're kind of stubborn too. Maybe David Elton knows that one from my dad way back. We carry stubbornness about us. We really do. But this place has been given a redemptive value, a territory, a boundary. So I want you to understand that picture, how God sees things. He called something into motion many, many years ago. From the beginning of time, when the worlds were framed, this area of Rochester, Indiana, would be planted according to his purpose and his destiny. Not yours, not mine, but his. His kingdom come, his will be done. Where? On earth, as it is where? That's his view, folks. Now, we're seated with Christ in high places, Ephesians chapter 1. He's put us up there. That was our purpose. But where are we living? We're living here. So we bring his purpose and destiny from heaven to this earth. So we just got to walk with him. Walk and talk with God. It began that way in Genesis. Walk in the garden. Let's go take a walk, Adam. Walk and talk with me. Come on. That's us. Okay. So this place has a destiny, has a territory and a boundary. It truly does. You need to find out what that is. Where are those tent pegs? And once that's established, the stake goes down, it won't be moved. I'll guarantee it. God loves change. He'll say now, stretch out the tent pegs. Hello? What? Because why? God's purpose and destiny is being fulfilled step by step by you and by us corporately as his body. We're the body of Christ. So this place has been given. If it's a spiritual dimension, God sees it by the Spirit, by his eye of faith. You have been given spiritual jurisdiction and legislation. This is a very important point. I know we're living, breathing, we're in the flesh. But spiritually, you have been given faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of not seen, but it's an evidence that you carry. The spiritual dimension of God, walking in that place, walking by the Spirit of God, to legislate in the jurisdiction you have been given. So when you speak something, pray something, the Spirit of God, all heaven is behind you to make that establish something. Does that make sense? So that's walking by the Spirit. I know it's maybe like woo-woo-wah-la land to some people at some time. What does that mean? But once you get the wind of the Spirit, it's so important you understand that's how he starts building things. He gives you his authority, his dominion, like in books of Genesis. That was his first commission. You have the power to legislate in the jurisdiction given you. So it's important you know your boundary. What was the redemptive call from God's heaven for this area and region? For this fellowship? For you individually? Because I believe everything has a purpose and destiny. It's not a guessing game. You just got to hook up with what God's doing. Does that make sense? There's the purpose of God. Each one of us gathered here today, we have been given a redemptive purpose and destiny to redeem back. So together we do that. But God's purpose is uncovered. It's not, it's in us, it's for everything. Redeeming is to bring back something. So I'm here today not to establish anything, bring something new that you've never heard before, else, you know, we're going a new way, a new thing. It's a new day. Yes, great phrases. But the power you carry and I carry is the redemptive power of God because he purposed it way before me to walk with him and use me to make that be established. I say that to encourage you. We're miles away. Missionaries, Africa, all over the world. How are they getting it done? Because what? God has put in your heart to carry that spiritual dimension. Okay, God, you move on those folks over there. Holy Spirit, you move over there. You provide for them. But they know you're doing it. So think about that a moment. So anyway, together we do that. But it's a redeeming thing. So I'll give you a phrase here that's it's worth walking with and chew on it a while and eat the hay, spit out the sticks, or as they say, eat the steaks, take out the bone, you know, spit out the bone. There's a lot of phrases to that, maybe. But what we need as men, as people of God, men and women of God, it's important. We need the presence of God. We need things. But what is most important is what God receives from each of us. Not what I need, but what God receives from me. So that's the awesome humility and meekness that you carry as a son of God, that he chose to use you to build his purpose and destiny here in this region, this territory, or all over the world. Well, that just blows me away. I can't put one step in front of the other without going, what's the deal here? I thought I knew what I was doing. No, son, you don't. Just follow me. Walk with me. So that's how God puts things together. So what's important is what we give back to him. He gave me an apostleship, a mandate to go worldwide. That's the call to me. Next person, called to be a pastor in a church of 50 people in Rochester. That's the purpose, destiny. He doesn't mean everyone to be a worldwide traveler or whatever. You've got to know what that is. Purpose and destiny. Each of us has been given a redemptive value. That redemption comes only as we participate with him and give it back to him. So my part is to please my Father in heaven, who gave me a gift, gave each one of you a gift, but to give it back to him. How many here are dads, grandpas, the whole thing? I'll tell you what, man. You get pretty proud when you see Johnny, you know, doing certain things. That's my Johnny over there. Come on. That's what my Father does. How does he get that way? How does he get the joy back from my life? I give this grace gift back to him. There's that circle that we live in. That's the dimension of the Spirit of God. I thank God for that. So you're getting a picture? Everything has a redemptive value. It does. So I want to use a phrase here if I can. I use the word wineskin. Does a wineskin mean anything to you? Ring bells in your mind? You get pictures of what a wineskin is. A wineskin holds what? It contains something. Wine. Now, let me read a scripture to you. Luke chapter 5, 36, 38, New King James says this. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece of new garment on an old one, otherwise the new one makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of a new one does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else new wine will burst because it starts fermenting. Okay? Spilled out, wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So now faith is, Hebrews 11, 1 is what it says. Now faith is the substance. New wine is what God looks for to fill wineskins. Purpose of destiny. This fellowship here has a wineskin. God designed it that way. It's his wineskin, not yours, not mine. Understand, it's to contain something. It's to hold what? The presence of God. A habitation for his God. A holy temple for the Lord. That's you and me. We're lively stones being placed together, what? To create a dwelling place, habitation for God. That's it. It's called a wineskin. So every little place, every church, this city, when I'm hearing and understanding it and starting studying it, has many, many churches. Guess what? Each one has a wineskin. They have a purpose. They have a redemptive value to carry out. They really do. But together, that's the way God sees it, a wineskin. But the new wine here is important that you understand. When the wind of God starts blowing and starts filling a wineskin, he can't use the old wineskin to put his new stuff in. He can't fill it with his new substance to take steps of faith, because what's going to happen? You're going to hold it. That is revival. That's when it comes in a pan, it's gone. Wonder why didn't you hang around God? Well, he hung around because he put his life in you. You carry the hope of glory. Christ in you. You carry it. But God's looking for abiding, habitation. Make sense? You've got to understand, Example would be this. Fulton County Airport. Before that plane lands with a smart pilot, he checks a windsock, or else he's got digital, he can check the speed, where it's blowing. He's got to know that first before he lands the plane, if he's smart. If he doesn't, odds are you may not land that plane very well. So just like you, as a fellowship, as a person of God, I must know individually, when the wind of God starts blowing in my life, of the redemptive value, a purpose and a destiny in my life, the wind of God is blowing. I better check it. I better see it. Where's the windsock blowing? North, south, east, and west. I've got to go this direction to land this plane. I cannot go this way. Now, I don't enjoy flying, but I have to at times. But it's amazing to me how those planes adjust and turn and crank and turn and bank. And it's all computerized, but it's being told, this is what the wind speed's doing. This is how you've got to get in. And they may be coming from the south, but guess what? I've circled many airports where they come in from the north. Why? Because the wind is blowing a certain direction. You're getting the picture. That's how God builds. We must be in tune with what God's doing. Where are you blowing, God? What's the wind saying? I know it's hard to track the wind. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. But think about it. You've got to know that. So what is God speaking here in this fellowship? What is God speaking in this territory and region? In a spiritual walk with God, I can be 2,000 miles away and I can hear the same Spirit of God telling me, pray this way, son. That's a miracle. I mean, that just blows my cookie. You're here, but other people are all over the world praying the same thing because what? They're hearing the same voice. They're hearing the same wind of the Spirit because they're fulfilling purpose and destiny. Okay. So I'm kind of maybe stirring some things up, but understand, in the spiritual dimension, we must understand the wind of God's blowing to succeed. He wants to carry out his purpose. All right. Are you still with me? I'm going to give you something here that you can think about. I call it the three A's. And in school, man, that's a good grade. It definitely is. But the three A's, it's alignment, assignment, producing agreement. Alignment is what? My life aligned with what God is speaking, doing, what he's given to do, purpose and destiny, aligned with his purpose. Not my will be done, God. Come on. I broke many a toe kicking something, kicking against the goats. That ain't you. I want to go this way. Think about that. Alignment with God, that's a purpose and destiny. The alignment comes first before your assignment. Your assignment will come clarity and clear and clear as you stay in the alignment. And then all of a sudden, by obedience, you start obeying the call of God with the wind that's blowing. And all of a sudden, your assignment becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Alignment comes first. Then your assignment starts showing up. So don't try to find the assignment first before you're aligned with the purpose and destiny, redemptive value God's given you as a temple of God. And also here. I'm not saying anybody's missing it. I'm just saying that's the foundation. You've got to walk every moment and be aware of that. Am I fulfilling destiny, God? Don't go there, son. No, go left. Hear a voice behind you. Turn left. Turn right. That's my voice. Why? It was his purpose and destiny before I was ever born. You're going this way, son. And man, I'll tell you what, as my wife would say, when we moved across country sometimes, she said, man, I left black heel marks on the floor. She did not want to go anywhere. At same times, I don't sometimes. I'm asking you to go here. I thank God he asked first. But guess what? He always gets his way. He'll give situations, circumstances to get you where he wants you. So think about that a moment. Alignment. Assignment. And then what does that do? It produces agreement in the spiritual dimension. Isn't what we're all about is agreement? Agreeing with heaven, bringing it to earth. We're not in discord with God. We're not trying to build our own purpose, our own destiny, the way we want to see it, our will be done. But now we're back to our Father, who's in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? You're sitting on a chair, folks. On earth. Come on now. That's awesome to me. So what is our job? In tune? God, what are you speaking? I know what I would love to, this is, maybe you don't go through this. God, I know what I'd love to see. Oh, yeah. Well, that's good, son. I understand your vigor, your tenacity. I also understand your stubbornness, Alan. That's partly natural. But I want to use that for my glory, okay? So what do? Surrender it back to God. He can't change that. That's my DNA. That's my personality. That's what God gave me, the motivation, the foundation gift in my life. You have one as well. And we're all different. But think about that. His kingdom done. His will be done. That is the battle every moment you get out of bed. It is. Am I doing the will of God? Or am I doing my own? Pastor Rick goes through it all the time on Sunday mornings. He'll spend all week, I'm just exampling, getting a message from God, hearing it, punching it up on the screen, having step one, step two, step three, step four. This is the message God's given. I know it is. Then he gets in his place and he starts taking steps. Step one, step two, step three. And God says, you ain't going to do that today. You're going to do my purpose. What does that do to him or to her or to me? What are we doing? Are we craning against, we're kicking against the goads, or are we walking with God? Come on now. Are we there? So purpose and destiny, it's established by identity. That's why I want to talk about identity. Identity is revealed. It truly is. As a son of God, personally, yes. That's how identity is revealed. God, what was my purpose? What did you give me to do? But identity as well is revealed. My identity is revealed through you. Come on. Why? I only care a part. I don't have the whole picture. You may know someone who does. Well, be careful. Because they only got a part too. But together we have the full picture of God in a region, in a fellowship, in a territory, in a nation. Why? Because it had a redemptive value. There was a purpose involved here, folks. Come on. So that's what I'm getting to. Identity comes individually, yes, us and God, but also through each part. We're going to touch on that. I want to bring up, if I can, you may have heard the term, Revelation, hearing it like Peter heard, you are the Christ, that came through Revelation, Matthew 16:16. Peter, who do you say that I am? What do men say I am? That's great. But Peter, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one. Okay? Revelation. And then what did Jesus say? You didn't get that from any man. You got that from my Father in heaven. So revelation is very important by his Spirit to us as his kids. So I'm going to touch on something here, and I'll preface it with this. I want to talk to you about being orphans or being sons and daughters of God. These are the sons of God. Orphans versus sons. Orphans don't have fathers. They're fatherless. But if I'm a son, I've got a dad somewhere. I've got a father. It's important we understand this principle of father and son, walking in this revelation, that when the more I know that individually I'm a son of God, he built me by his Holy Spirit, hearing that, anchoring my life, then nothing can separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is, make your list up. We've all got our personal list. But nothing can separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. I can't make him love me more after preaching a great message or a bad one. Think about it. Now we're going to talk about orphans, talk about sons. How do you live your life? What do you walk with? What present tense awareness do you walk with every moment as you as a Christian? It's important you understand. Your identity comes by, yes, knowing that in your life, but also receiving it from others. Then we're built together. My identity comes from knowing Pastor Rick, his knowing me. And all of a sudden, we're building what? The temple of God, the body of Christ, which we are. So, all right. As you can see, I kind of get cranking sometimes on this stuff. I love it because it's God's presence. He does it all. It's effortless when we understand His process. How does He build? What does He do in your life? What's your calling? What's your purpose? What's your destiny? So, I want to say something here, and you can take it or not, but fatherlessness is a curse. How many people do you know here, around regions, the world, who don't have identity with a father? And how much trouble they end up in. Jails are full of people. Stats tell you. First thing they'll tell you, I didn't have a dad. They did not know anything about having a father. Missing in action, MIA. Think about that. But Scripture, the Word of God tells us that we are sons and daughters because Jesus did that. Fatherlessness, which is curse, orphan, walking as an orphan, or walking as a son of God, planted with peace, righteousness, and stability as a God's child. Okay, there's the difference. But Scripture tells us that Jesus became a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3, 13, 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it's written. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That curse has been broken. If you know, you're a son and daughter of God. Now, if you don't, you will have trouble in this world. And guess what? You're in it. But you aren't of it. If you have your father's DNA. If you've committed your heart to Jesus and say, Lord, take this vessel. Take this unsanctified vessel. Hard for me to it kind of almost like a flyover sometimes. Don't you think, God, you want me to clean up first or get better before you really want to use me? He takes a great joy using an unsanctified vessel, you, an earthen vessel, to bring His heaven to this earth. Are you catching that? Spirit of God, reveal that to each one of us. You don't need to get better to be a Christian today. You already are. That's sonship. That's walking in a revelation. Wow. Spirit and truth. I'm a son and daughter of God. Let the winds blow. Let the sail be rent. My anchor holds. Our job is to help others get the anchor to hold. Satan does not want that. The warfare is always on us about things. That's the other voice that's in this world. But we carry that voice to be anchored. So, at the cross, Jesus took that curse of fatherlessness. He did. Because why? He was a son. He was the Son of God. So He went up to heaven. What did He give us? He gave us that inheritance to be a son and daughter of God. So that fatherlessness has been broken in our lives. If I believe that, if I walk in that revelation. So, fathers are very key. They're vital for the imparting of identity to children. Fathers are vital key for imparting identity to children. Physically, yes. Spiritually, yes. Very important point. Because that's the same principle, the same working, but on the spiritual dimension. That Holy Spirit, You're teaching me, but guess what? I gotta listen to Pastor Rick. I gotta listen to Dave Helt. Come on. Well, you better. If not, you'll have some trouble in this world. Because you're not walking as a son of God. Your identity is not here, and it's definitely not here. And we're family. That's my brother. We're blood. Yes, we are. His name is Jesus. We're all brought back to that sonship. It's important we get there, okay? So our fatherlessness is broken when we know we're a son of God. Hebrews, let me go to Romans chapter 8, 28, 30. Our transformation is really walking this out as a Christian. Romans 8, 28, 30. This is Amplified. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. I didn't make this stuff up, folks. It's right there in the Word of God. So, you have to get with the program. For those whom he foreknew, he loved and chose beforehand. There it is. Way before I was born and you. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Was Jesus a son? Are you a son? Are you a daughter of God? What is your destiny and purpose? To be conformed to the image of Jesus. Because he's a son, you're a son. That's a transformation. I go through it every day. Walking as a son of God or walking as a rebellious one. My will be done. I want to do it this way, God. What I prefer. I love that one. Hello. Let's get back to the plumb bottle of the Word of God. What does God prefer? Don't do that, son. They can do all they'd like. You don't do that. Conform to the image of Christ, knowing we're sons of God. So that's the issue. Luke chapter 3, 21, 22. When all the people were baptized, came to pass, Jesus also baptized. And while he prayed in heaven, it was opened. Holy Spirit descended bodily like a dove on him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved son." Read the rest of the scripture. In you, I am well pleased. Are you living as an orphan or walking with revelation? I'm a son of God. Not in your own will, but his will. It's very important. Purpose and destiny. Christ restored us to the fatherhood by God. He did. By passing that mantle, his sonship to us. And our transformation is learning to receive that and to help each other walk in that. Come on now. We all have families. You know daughters and sons. You know when they're going on the wrong road. But did you put up with that? Or did you rise up in the things of God and declare and decree his word saying, my daughter's not going down that road. Come on. Your purpose and destiny was to pray for your kids. Come on. A father of a family. Same way. So, identity, the son of God. Identity is revealed by... yes, you and God, you bet, to hear the word of God today, but also to understand your identity is also established by one another because we are the body of Christ. I may not like you, Paul, which I just met this morning. I'm just kidding, he's an example, okay? But guess what, man? I must carry this revelation. Your blood, your family. So if I kick him out or cut him up, by this word, or by words I speak at lunch. As they say, you can have your pastor for lunch. Be very careful. Talking about what was not right. But I must walk with revelation. That's my brother. And if I cut him up, my leg's hurting. Because I just cut my own leg. Because it's a functioning of a body. I love Pastor Rick's illustration this week. He kept asking, what do you think God's doing and going to say? Of course, I didn't tell him a whole bunch. But he got a cut on his thumb. He cut his thumb right here. And it kind of infected a little bit. But every time he touched something, he's like, oh, man, that hurts. Where'd that pain go? His whole body knew that thumb was cut. But also, guess what? Behind the scenes, all those red blood vessels or white blood, you know, more medicine than I do, are going... to the rescue to heal that cut. So your identity is made up, each of us, but also yourself. So John 14, 16, 18 says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I'll come to you. So the issue is, are you walking with the revelation, I'm a son of God, daughter of God, or are you still out here in that orphan in the orphanage. I don't think God really knows where I am yet. So fathers are very key. They truly are. Without fathers, it's hard for anyone to discover their destiny, their purpose. So from fatherlessness to knowing we're sons of God. That's transformation. Now, Galatians chapter 3, 28. It's about seven verses here. I'll read them quickly because it's important. This is foundation. It's called truth, the spirit of truth. We must walk by truth, not by things we're hearing and seeing. But Galatians 3, 28 to 29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, which means in that day, Gentiles and Jews didn't hang out together. But the Apostle Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Love that. And if you are Christ's, if you are Christ's, I'm starting to believe I am, I guess. I'm in Christ. Come on. Then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then chapter 4 continues, says, now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from all from a slave, though he's a master of all, but is under guardians, stewards, until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And who is well pleased? Think about that. Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might, what? Oh, as it's on the screen, receive the adoption, come on, as what? Sons. Let the anchor hold today, folks. You're a son of God. Hey, you're in his family. You've got his DNA. At times you may think he doesn't know where I am, but guess what? You bet he does. He knows you by name. He created you with a destiny and a purpose before you even have an awareness of that. Trust God to be God. An heir of God through Christ. Think about that. Now, I'm going to read something. Anyone here read the Message Bible translation? Oh, there's a few hands. If you haven't, you need to look at it real good because it's kind of like, oh, man, I like that. It's different. Same verses, Message. In Christ's family, there's been no division. There is no division, Jew and non-Jew, slave or free, male or female. Among us, you are all equal. Love that. That is, we are all in common. We are all in common relationship with Christ. What's my commonness with you? Better be Jesus. Nothing else. Not my will. Not my plan. Come on. You have one. Jesus. That's what it's saying there. Also, since you are in Christ's family, then you are Abraham's famous descendant. Heirs according to the covenant promise. I love that. A descendant? Does that kind of mean a ways back? A descendant? I'm a descendant of Bernie Bickle. Think about that. Family line. We got grandmas, grandpas, great-great-grandpa. Come on now. Kids, grandkids, generation to generation. That's God. Nice, sir. Way beyond me, man, to figure it out. I just need to walk with it. So let me lead this one more time. Message Bible, Galatians 4, 1-7. It says this. Again, it's translation. Let me show you the implications of this. Just kind of normal language. As long as you're an heir, as long as the heir is a minor, he has no advantage over the slave. Though legally he owns the entire inheritance, he is subject to tutors and administrators until whenever date the father has set for emancipation. That is the way it is with us. When we were minors, we were just like slaves, ordered around, simple instructions. The tutors, administrators of this world with no say in the conduct of our own lives. Oh, I love that. I'm going to pause there a moment because, yes, in the beginning, I thought I had a say in my life. How I want to do this, God. Bless me, God. I'm going here. So, come on, bless me. But when I started growing up and let go of those childish things, I walked a little bit different. I walked in cadence with His plan, His destiny, His purpose. That's what it says. Just like slaves, ordered around by simple instructions, tutors, with no say in the conduct of our own lives. How many in this room today think that if you have no say in something, that ain't very smart? I mean, that's not very mature. But in a spiritual dimension, it's the smartest thing you can walk in. Because you're fighting against God's will for your life, that your will be done. What do you mean I got no say in this, God? I thank God, Bernie, my dad, probably wore out 6-7 belts on my butt at times. I thought I could say what I wanted to do. He said, Alan, you're not going to do that. And if I did it, what came down the road? A consequence. So it's just, I'm thinking, man, I can do, I'm in control of this. In the spiritual realm, it works the same principle. God says, you need to submit, surrender to my will, my kingdom come through you. And then guess what? You'll have a say in this. Because I'm going to grow you up. And now guess what? You're on your own. You're going to college. I can't be in your dorm room with you. Think about that as parents. That's the growing process. In the spiritual realm, it's completely opposite the way men think. But it says, right, with no say in the conduct of our lives. How many times have we been angry and mad with God? What do you mean I have no say in God? Just kidding. But when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born under the conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure. I love that. This is the Message Bible. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit, it says, the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying what? Abba, Father. I have a Father. How about you? How many times have we even helped people? You just need to go to God and pray and just say, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. And it's all outside steps of behavior, do this and that. Versus, this tells me, the Abba Father comes after the revelation that I'm a son of God. It's so awesome and heavy. The Shekinah glory of God just falls upon you. The Spirit of the Lord's upon you because He's anointed you to go forth to set the captive free. Man, awesome. That's what this is saying. Think about that a moment. Whew. The Spirit of His Son, walking in a spirit of sonship. I just want to encourage you today, every decision you make today, you may know exactly from A to Z today, at 12 o'clock, where you're going to be, what you're going to do, how it's going to work, what meetings you've got on your calendar. Wonderful. But you better be walking in the knowledge of the truth, revelation. I'm walking in a spirit of sonship. God, what would you want me to do? The world would tell you, yeah, X number of dollars, you do this, this is how you do this, this is what you do. And if it doesn't work, sometimes we say, I thought I had something to say. Let's just tweak it here a little bit. Come on. But if you're ridden by the sonship of Christ, you're going to step back and say, no, I can't do that. I can't do the illegal deal you're talking about. Oh, makes money, no good money. Think about that. Are you walking? Even in your order of your day today or tomorrow through the days ahead, carrying the awareness, the spirit of a sonship you carry. Now, I say that to get to a place that Romans 8:14, whatever, in different verses says, Amplified says, for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit are sons of God. There's allowing, yes, receiving. But it's understanding, if you know you have a spirit of sonship, my identity comes with spending time with my God, knowing what my purpose and destiny is. That's my identity. I can't change that. That's my DNA and purpose and destiny. Redemptive value He's given me. But if you as well walk in the spirit of sonship, and we're the same family, the same DNA, the same corporate Son of God, the body of Christ, where can I also get more information, input for my identity? It's the person you're sitting next to, or the person across the table from you who knows Jesus, because it's the body. It's the body of Christ. That's your identity. Comes two ways. Yes, you've got revelation truth. I'm a child of God. I carry sonship. But identity also comes when you can identify with a son and daughter of God. You may not even know them, but you bear witness saying, I think you know Jesus. Oh, yeah, I do. Wow. And they have an awareness carrying that spirit of sonship. Now, I know sometimes it's hard to handle this red-faced maniac sometimes. But that's what completes your mission, your destiny, your purpose, bringing heaven to earth. And the Father God stands up and says, man, this is great, because he's given back to me what I gave him to do. Well, it may took a while. Sure it did. Gary knows me very well. It took 20 years. I'm just saying, we do that. All of us, we go through the process of transformation, conformed to the image of Christ. So I'll leave you with this, because I'm probably getting close to the end here. But how do you walk? Awareness of sonship, yes. But do you walk that each of you represent Jesus, the body of Christ? Yes, you may not like them. You may believe different than someone else across the street, doctrinally. But you have something in common with them. Where's your common ground? Should be one place and one place alone. And you trust God to take care of the rest. Because that's what to be revealed is my sonship, my identity. How many went to school and didn't like certain professors and teachers? You liked some and you hated others. But when I started going in Christ and went back to college, I started appreciating more of the profs who I didn't really care for, but knew what they were talking about, that knew how to teach me to learn what they were teaching. Than just being, this is easier over here. I kind of like this person, and I don't need to do so much, and they're asking so much of me. Come on. But our sonship, we've got to be aware of the fact that we're the body of Christ walking with Jesus. Our destiny and our purpose is to explode on the scene with awareness of our sonship, walk shoulder to shoulder with the body of Christ. Doesn't matter on doctrine, but we have a common ground. His name is Jesus. If someone is a brother and sisters of you who confesses Christ as Lord, but yet they're doing something wrong that you don't agree with or believe that different thing, get back to the root, the foundation. We are one in Christ. Hello. Now, I say this. That is revelation, heavenly, as Peter received, for you and me to walk in, present tense, every moment, every moment. That's our common ground. Now, I'll leave you with this. We have a common enemy. Each one of us, corporately together, the body of Christ. And who is it? Man, it's the devil. I hate the guy. I hate him with a passion. Come on. Sometimes I have to apologize to friends and family members I'm praying for and talking to. I said, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at the devil. I'm telling him to get out of this house. Get off this property. Get off this business. I know you're going, well, man, I'm not like that. Well, they're graced differently. Their personality is different. Mine isn't very much timidity, wallflower, you know. People are different. But appreciate the difference. Because I need to also be completed by the wallflower. If not, no one's going to like me. He's off the wall, man. You ever seen him? Oh, he's off the wall. Come on. There's that revelation. The spirit of sonship. Each part of us make up the body of Christ completely with the same many rivers, but one voice, one commonality. What's the commonality? There is that unity, the corporateness to come against our common enemy. Once you realize I've got a commonness with my brother and sister, I have something in common. I'm a Jesus, so are you. That's my sonship. This is my father. Do you think the devil wants you to understand that? Well, he'll come in and divide, kill and destroy, and steal. You got that right? Okay, now, I want to end with this illustration if I can. I need some people to do this. Okay. I'm going to stand here, and this is me. I'm a son of God. I have a problem in my life. I have a problem in my family. I've been praying for. God, help them. Get them going. But guess what? I carry only a part. Only a part. Gary, get up here beside me. Mrs. Sadler, can you hear? She can't see. Get up here. Stand up here. And you're welcome, Paul and your wife. Stand up here for a moment. What do you see we have in common? His name is Jesus. We're Jesus people. We're family. And we are. What do you think the devil sees? He saw me moments ago by myself trying to get him out of town. But now he has what? Oh, come on now. See that? That's the corporateness of the body of Christ. And I can have every one of you circle this room and be linked together, because that's what the devil never wants you to do. Because a house divided against itself will never stand. You'll never complete the purpose and destiny of a life, individually or even a fellowship or a region or a nation. But man, when you are side by side and you carry the same voice, which I know this brother does, he'll keep me in line if I'm out of line at times. He loves me enough to do that. But we say the same thing with the commonness of Jesus, declaring purpose and destiny for children, for families, for regions, for nations, for churches. Now there's four voices being one. And when the righteous take their stand, the enemy flees when no one pursues him. That's Proverbs. He's got to go home. He's got to leave. So what am I saying? When I have a situation in my life, or a situation I've been praying for, or God's people, take this shift with me. We are equippers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. If I only carry a part, is that wise for me to think that I can take care of this situation? Or is it wisdom to say, man, I need the full expression of Christ here to help a situation, either here personally or sons and daughters of God? See that? If that is not occurring in a fellowship, a church, a nation, a region, hand of God functioning as one hand of God over an area, in an area, it only carries a part. And you're shortchanged. So am I. But when we come together, man, that's Ephesians 4, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. That's equippers to equip you to understand you need it all. Each one carries a part. Starting to see a picture? Okay. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much. So that's where we are. I believe that's the move of God. The wind of God is blowing. He's blowing that direction. And then, yes, the flesh shrinks back for that. Man, I know all about you. I don't want to hang out with you. What's the deal here? Come on. There's your test. There's the reality of being conformed. Who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? Are you trusting His spirit of sonship to link together with a commonality to take care of the common enemy? That's called victory. That's called a move of God. That's how regions, territories are taken for the name of Jesus. Everything changes. That's just a part. Oh, you'll change this for sure, but the whole place changes. Okay, so you're getting a picture of what redemptive value truly is, the redemptive value God's given you. That's how identity's found. Yes, you with God, spending time with God, but guess what? Each other. I only have a part, but I get to know more of my Father God when I hang out with this guy and I hear him talk and speak. Come on. This man has a mighty family of God. I won't put a number on his grandkids, but I think it's over 60 now. But think about family. If you need a resource to help in family, to pray for families, pray for children, for girls, for daughters, whatever, or building family, grandkids, you might want to call help. Why? Because you need common ground. The devil's come in like a flood. But when the righteous, God will raise up a righteous standard against him. That's you and me. That's us here corporately today, even in this house, in this region. So it's important we understand that. So, from fatherlessness to sonship, do you walk in the spirit of sonship today? Do you carry that? You may be thinking, I miss it a lot of times. And the devil had a victory. So the spiritual dimension around this place, this region, this wall, God, as we come together, shoulder to shoulder, yes, drive out the enemy's camp, standing one accord, one mindset, one heartbeat. Then the wall is built spiritually. And the devil can't come and run in to and fro whenever he wants to, in your money, in your family, churches. Why? Because the wall spiritually has been built. And we're guarding the city. Think about that a moment. You individually, families. That is the wind of God that's blowing. Present tense moment. Yes, God, I want to move of God. I want to see things happen. I believe in for it. I know I do. I do too, just like you. But could it be? Could it be the wind of God? This windsock is telling me I see it blowing. That what? Alan, you carry the move of God. Just move with me. Think about that, church. Think about that. The hope of glory, where's that? It's in you. That's New Testament saint. That's New Testament living. God chose it to use me, this earthen vessel. But his power works through each of us. Old Testament, yes, God worked for you, around you. But the New Testament revelation is, Jesus said, I will be in you and with you. Not as orphans, but adopted sons of God together. My Lord. I hear that everywhere I go. And even they say, come in, do this and do this, set things in order, help us do this and whatever. And they're looking for a great message. And I just tell them, can't you guys get along? They get offended. But they're not carrying the spirit of sonship. They're not. What are you guys walking in? What are you people doing? Come on now. The wind of God is blowing. 2020 vision. Hearing it. So, Spirit of Living God, right now, I believe identity has been revealed. My life, other people's lives, the body of Christ, Father, my identity is my life with you, but also my brother and sister, that I need to seek it out, submit to that authority, hear it, and build my identity, Father, through your body, through the gifts given, so every joint will supply, causing increase. And God, as I seek first the kingdom of righteousness, right standing with you, spirit of sonship, all those things will be added unto me. So, Father, I just declare right now, all of us, under your Holy Spirit's power, the sound of your voice into our lives, bearing witness with us that we're children of God. We're hearing that spirit of sonship, that the anchor's going down, the stake's going down right now, like never before. And nothing can separate that. It's your purpose. It's your destiny. It holds. The anchor holds. And every time I get shaken, bring that to my attention, awareness. I'm a child of God. My anchor holds. Let the winds blow. Let the sails rent. I don't care. I'm not walking by sight anymore, God. I'm walking by faith. The evidence I carry, that spirit of sonship. So, Father, I release it right now on these people, in this place. This place has a redemptive value. It has a redemptive purpose and destiny in the name of Jesus. It is yours and yours alone. So, Father, right now, I am speaking with your authority you've given me. And Father, I loose right now the spirit of surrender, submission, repentance be released over your people now, my life as well. I repent, Father, for the times I wanted something to say. I wanted to do it my way. So, Father, I think I say right now, maturity in the kingdom of God is released right now over this place. Spirit of a living God, fall afresh right now. Every life, every family, every generation. And Father, I am planted. The anchor is held. I see that, Lord. You're for me, not against me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just let him speak to you for a moment. Yes, Lord. Yeah, need to let go of that, Lord. That was my will, not yours. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Jesus. Now, as we close, Spirit of God's been moving and working in my heart, other hearts, all across this room. If the Father's heart is in you for that spirit of sonship to be revealed even in a greater capacity, I want you to stand right now if that's what God's asking you to be, a son of God, to carry that spirit of sonship into this region, into this area, into these four walls. Thank you for the helps visiting. They go to a different church. Thank God for that. So does probably Paul and his wife. Does that matter? The spirit of sonship doesn't matter. That's the fun part about this, guys. As God builds his church, the gates of hell can never prevail against it. You think the devil loved seeing these people standing in unity and one accord, commonness and what? Jesus and Jesus alone? Where's he going to go? He can't come in anymore. He's had open doors, open gates. When you're standing right now, those gates are closing, the wall's being built. That's what it's about. Now, I'm going to ask something here. And I believe we're at a place we can do this, each of us. I just want to take a moment. I can do this. We corporately can do this, pray for people. But in the beginning, I'm going to ask each of you right now, put your hand on the shoulder of one next to you, those standing right now. Or walk across the aisle, touch somebody on their shoulder. Because this is the picture that our Father God loves to see. Because what you've just done, you've given back to him what he's given to you. The move of God's within you, people of God. You're the vessel God's chosen to use. I don't need to clean my life up. I just need awareness that he loves me so much, he's going to use me. And through the process, he'll clean me up. Matter of fact, my brother and sister will as well. But Father, right now, just pray for them right now and thank you for the family, for their lives. And just pray for them right now and saying, I release right now over them life, their lives. The gift that's in my life, I release it and cover their lives, Lord, through the situations, through the environment. Cover the families, cover the businesses, cover this territory, cover the churches, Lord. The spirit of sonship, the commonness of Jesus, a spiritual dimension. Right now, God. Right now, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's using each one of you now to build a kingdom that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Thank you, Lord. He runs into it, he bumps into it, but he's got to flee. He's got to go the other way. When you stand with your brother and sister, the devil must flee when no one pursues him. He has the smarts to understand, I'm going to get beat up here. I got to go.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Now, thank you all. You're welcome to be seated. There was something here as we close that's just, I carry it a lot, whatever. But again, you're the representation of Jesus. Pastor Rick knows me. I can't change this. Yes, I love you very much. Love this church very much. It carries its own sword. It's got a purpose and destiny, a redemptive value. It's a wineskin God's putting. He's putting new wine in it, his purpose and destiny. But also, corporately together, one voice, Fulton County. Fulton County, what? What? Come on. Did you hear my sister? What did I say about redemptive value? Boundaries, territories. God, you give me a burden. Again, I won't describe my burden because I'm 2,000 miles away. Yes, it's much bigger than that. But I'm praying for Fulton County. That's your burden, sister. God, glory to God. I need to know what that is. But all of a sudden, your sister says, yeah, man, Marshall County. You're going, really? Let me hang around you a while. What goes on? We start covering territory. Boundaries get changed. Stake pins start going out. All of a sudden, now we walk with a mindset of God, the heartbeat saying, I know, God, you gave me a burden for Fulton, but now you're showing me a picture of northern Indiana. You're showing me counties. You'll love this next step. God, you're showing me a nation. Why have I done what I've done? Destiny and purpose. Because burdens were placed in my life 30 years ago to stand inside of a world map and pray over areas. Africa, areas where just praying and God says, thank you. Now you're prepared. Now you go there. Given a burden for that area before I even went. There's how God builds his church in the gates of hell. Spiritual dimension, folks. Being mature and being informed of the image of Jesus, he knew what he was doing. I've transferred this glory, my sonship now to my people, the body of Christ. I'll go build my church. Wow, I love that. So, we're going to pray real quickly. I want to pray for this area and this region. I really do. I'm not here by mistake. It's something we weep and cry over, and I'm 2,000 miles away. I can't tell you why. This is God. So let's just get that spirit of sonship in our lives. We're one body. We're one voice. And just get into your crawl about this area. And your redemptive purpose and destiny may be just for a corner of something in this area. It could be many counties together. It could be other counties, like our sister told us. So, Father, right now, I thank you. This boundary is being established by you. This region is being raised up with a one voice, with the Spirit of a living God. Thank you, Father, that Jesus will be lifted up and all men will come unto him. So, Father, being set in order by your Spirit, the Spirit of sonship, families come in line, finances come in line, provision, vision. Father, everything according to your purpose and plan now, through your people this day. Thank you, Father, for placing each heart, placing in them the burden to carry for areas and regions, for families. Yes, God, for governments. In the mighty name of Jesus. For education, God, in this area and region. Build your church, Father. Change it, God. We change the atmosphere in these moments. Yes, Lord, we change the arts and entertainment area over this land. That it be godly, it be moral in the name of Jesus. One voice, our common ground, his name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Showing you things, talking to you. I release that expansion right now, God, in the hearts of your people. Things that you may thought were impossible All things are possible with those who believe and see God's purpose and destiny. God, Lord God, I thought I knew. I thought I knew it all. I thought I saw the picture. Now I'm seeing your picture. Spirit of living God, fall afresh right now. Right now. And we all said, amen. Going to be here a few moments too. If you need personal prayer for your family, for your business, for anything you need, we're here. It's only noon. Do what you want. But there's corporateness here. Pastor Rick, myself, others, Gary, friends that I know. Again, sonship. To break through what's been attacking you and putting a mound around your life. I don't know why, but I was brought to remembrance of this state in Ohio because I grew up in both. But I also remember early on going to the Indio burial grounds for family reunions. It was brought to my attention. And there were mounds around where we always brought our union. There was mounds built by Indians many years ago, but mounds. It's the picture of how the devil puts mounds around areas. The only way those are broken through is when you are walking together, praying in Jesus' name, they'll come down. That giant will fall. God's kingdom will go forward. That's the voice of God. So in your family, things you're carrying, that's how things are broken. That's the wind. That's the windstock that's blowing. You need to hang out together, pray together, work together. This ground is being prepared for a mighty, mighty move of God, which is you, hearing the voice, moving with the wind. And I believe this area will be known for just that. And God will draw others here because you have got the revelation, what it takes to get it done, to succeed in your destiny and your purpose. Amen? Okay. I love you very much. Thanks for putting up with my yelling. But again, we're here to pray with you too. Got to go, but we'd love to pray with you individually as well.